First, let's visit the young nonprofit in Detroit. The group is in a park where men come to cruise and do drugs. It's pouring rain.
If you encounter a situation that is even perceived to be dangerous, immediately abort the conversation.
Fletcher Relliford coordinates outreach for Guiding Lights Sober Living. It's a residential substance abuse program.
Okay, once again, don't let the rain discourage you. There's still people out there. We'll find them. We'll bring them back. And if we don't, we still will have done a good job.
The group wants to do more outreach, but it can't. You see, the nonprofit has a contract with Detroit, and it relies on a combination of government funds. One of them has slowed down, creating a kind of financial avalanche. For example, the group has to be accredited, but that process
is paid for out of our Medicaid budget.
CEO Daryl Dewberry says Medicaid reimbursements are so late, staff sometimes wait weeks to get paid. So when it came time to pay for accreditation, he didn't have the money, which then
caused our accreditation to lapse. That puts us in noncompliance. We could potentially lose our contract with the city because of this noncompliance issue.
The occasional late payment is nothing new, but nonprofit umbrella groups say the financial crises at every level of government have made things worse. State officials I spoke with in Michigan hadn't noticed delays, and not every nonprofit has either. But what happens when late payments do occur is important. For one thing, 1 in 10 Michigan workers relied on nonprofits for their jobs as of 2009. Still, last year, a national survey ranked Michigan and Ohio in the bottom half of the nation in terms of late government payments. Illinois was the worst.
It appears our state is broke.
Gary Kenzer is executive director of the Polish American Association in Chicago. It's almost 90 years old. But the nonprofit has served fewer people this year than last. Kenzer says state payments were so late, the group borrowed hundreds of thousands of dollars to bridge the gap. To survive, it had to lay off a fifth of its staff. And programs like these got the axe.
Helping families and children to be registered in the state health insurance program, very important program. Services for youth at risk, very important program. Services for senior citizens. I mean, where can you argue with these programs?
Gary Kenzer says the state of Illinois still owes his group about $500,000. So I called the woman in charge of paying the bills in Illinois, State Controller Judy Barr Topinka. Picture a feisty woman with a massive bill backlog.
I'm still at around 180,000 bills. As of this time, that's worth about $4.2 billion.
That's billion with a B. And as controller, Topinka has to prioritize things like bond payments and employee payroll. There's just not enough money to pay for it all.
You're playing God here to a certain extent, and it's difficult. It's difficult, and sometimes it just doesn't make you feel good after it's all said and done.
Michigan does not have a similar backlog. But when you're a struggling nonprofit in Detroit with no cash reserves and no credit, late payments can break you. Guiding Light Sober Living got behind on its rent and had to move very suddenly. But they found a cheaper place.
Oh, Lord, how much? Let me go out here.
Can I look?
A worn but beautiful Catholic church in Detroit. As the clients filed in, their mood was hopeful. And because of the program, Amelia Cummings was also hopeful about her life.
I'm clean. You know, and I feel stuff. I look at the trees, I look at grass. And before I was numb. You know, like I've been missing all this.
The next day, I called Daryl Dewberry, the group's CEO. He says the city now wants to revoke his contract. For Changing Gears, I'm Kate Davidson in Detroit.